There's the top, right? Okay. Now,
Okay, so the only thing I wanted to, one small thing I just wanted to look at was that we sort of didn't really go into it. The Takana of why you have to be Kori the Torah. You can't go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. So that would mean, let's see, Saturday night. So Sunday, Monday is the second day. So Monday you read. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday you read. So that's 3 days. That's on the third day, and then Friday is one day, and then so you never go. The most you go is between Monday and Thursday, which is Thursday's the third day. So you never go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah, okay? With a break, there's no break of 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. So the Gemara says, why? Where'd they get this this number from three? So it says it's in Bava Kamma Pei Beis Amarav, okay. So it says like this. It says that Ezra was Masakin. It says Ezra Tikin. Okay? So the Gemara says the Tanya, okay? Bryce says Vayelchu Shlosha Yamin Bamidbar Velo Matsu Mayim. Okay? So that's the pasuk. That after Kriyas Yamsuf, right, after you have Oz Yashir, then the next thing, the Parsha starts that most that they went after the Kriyas Yamsuf, they went walking through the desert. Okay? And it says that they traveled for 3 days and they got they didn't find any water, and the people became very perturbed. Okay? So the Gemara says that Mayim means Torah. Okay? Darshi Rishumo Samar Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Okay? So the Gemara says, Kivin Shahafu Shloshes Yamin Below Torah Nilu. Since they went 3 days without Torah, they got perturbed. It was not good. The whole situation, people became very, what do you call it, frustrated. Okay? So the question is, I mean, there the really the plain pshat of the pasuk is that Kriyas Yamsuf, after 3 days from Kriyas Yamsuf, right, they became very agitated. Okay, so what's the idea that you don't go 3 days without Torah? You must have, you can't have a break of 3 days.
I think it comes from the Gemara that says.
That's it.
Was that the answer? Okay.
I mean,
seems like someone too.
What's
Was the Gemara giving you? What's the Gemara as a reason?
The Gemara says just this thing
that
that it says they went 3 days without they couldn't find water, and they started to get very upset, and you know, whatever, they made trouble and.
Right.
Yell, you know, they went against Moshe.
Mm.
Okay, so I mean, there they didn't have water, but the Gemara is learning from there that that has to do with being too many days without Torah.
Not much of a reason.
Not much of a reason.
Weird.
But what would the idea, anyways? Forget about that Gemara. What would the idea, anyways, be that? After a certain amount of time, the person gets. In other words, you shouldn't go too long without Torah. You shouldn't have a break. That there's a break from Torah that is not good for a person. So what would the idea there be? I mean, just on a very basic level.
Gotta keep the ideas fresh.
Gotta keep the ideas fresh.
Probably more inclined to doing philosophically stupid things.
Stupid things, right?
Yeah, it's like if you keep learning Torah, you'll kind of constantly be in check with like certain ideas and keeping your emotions in check. Because like I guess what I'm trying to say is that. Your emotions already have an upper hand on you. Like, they're the natural way you go. So if you stop learning Torah, you're just going to naturally go back.
Start to go back.
To that.
You regress, right? You
regress, right?
Retrogress, regress, right? That type of thing.
Also gives you like structure, like dominating.
Right. What's that? Another point.
It also gives you structure, like dominating in the morning.
Right.
You can't just do anything. You gotta have you gotta learn Torah. Like every 3 days, like a system. You need a system.
Okay, good. So basically, the basic idea is that when a person learns, he makes a certain impression on him, and that impression lasts not forever. Right, it lasts a certain amount of time. Okay, so that was the idea of the Midbar. When they experienced Kriyas Yam Suf, they were really on a tremendous spiritual high. Like it made a tremendous impression on them that they were saved from Mitzrayim, and that God performed a miracle for them that created a tremendous impression. But you see, no matter how great that impression is, after 3 days, that was the end of it. They were back to where's our water, right? So it means to say that. An impression that a person receives from an event that, you know, that gives him a certain realistic frame of mind, that wears off. It does not last. And they learned from the Torah that it lasts, that it wears off after 3 days. The greatest impression will wear off after 3 days. Okay? So unless it's renewed, that's it. You know, you go right back to your emotions. Okay, so that was the limud from Kriyas Yam Suf, and that's why they were masakein that you can't go 3 days, you can't have an interruption of 3 days. Okay, so the Kriyas Torah makes an impression on you. If a person listens, he's supposed to listen, and he's supposed to be attentive, and it makes a certain impression. It gives him a realistic frame of mind. Okay, but that wears off. All right, so that was the basis for the takana. Okay. Okay, so last time I think basically we finished the Mishnah, and if you'd like, we could start the Gemara. If you don't like, we could do something else. But if you want to start the Gemara and see how you like it, we can do that. Okay. Alrighty.
We might walk out in the middle, just like to the
line. Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean. You might walk out, I may walk out. I mean, it's just, that's it. It is what it is. It's how it goes. Exactly. Okay, so the Gemara starts on Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph. Okay? So, last week we had really a guest reader, an unbelievable reader, and we were wondering if he would like to continue his excellent
Kriya,
yes.
No pun intended.
No? Okay. Would somebody else like to take over, or I could?
I'll
Okay, go ahead.
Gemara, Tana. Ma she'inkin b'Torah manami mili.
Okay, so what's ma she'inkin b'Torah? If you take a look at Rashi.
Right. Mashin Kim Batorah, She'in Korin Batorah, Bitsibur Miyushav.
Oh. So this is really a vital point here, a crucial point, right? Because the Mishnah says that Kriyas Megillah, a person could do either standing or sitting. Okay? And according to Rashi, it's clear that there is no preference. Imrotza Omeid, Imrotza Yoshev. Either way. Okay, the Rambam says that we stand because of a separate, totally separate reason of Kavod HaTzibur. Okay, that's a separate reason. Kavod HaTzibur, he stands, but really Me'ikar HaDin, in terms of Kriya itself, makes no difference. You can stand or sit. Kriya HaMegillah. Okay, but the Gemara says that there's actually that halacha does not hold true by Kriya HaTorah. Kriya HaTorah, you must stand, and it's not an extraneous halacha because of Kavod HaTzibur. It's Me'ikar HaDin. Okay? I didn't check everybody, but certainly according to, there are those that hold it's only L'chatchila, that B'di'evit, you'd be Yotze. But you're definitely lacking. Kriyas HaTorah demands Amida. You're lacking in the Kriya if you don't stand. Okay? And the question is, what's the difference? Why one Kriya you must stand and the other Kriya doesn't matter.
Between Megillah and
Kriyas HaTorah. Megillah and Kriyas HaTorah. Okay? So the Gemara says, why by Kriyas HaTorah must you stand? Okay.
Amar Rabbi Abahu de Amar Kra Vata Po Amud Imadi. Okay.
Okay. So what is that pasuk? That's in Dvarim Hey, right? So does your Gemara have the complete? Because some of the Gemaras have the.
Mine doesn't have it. Those do.
Those do. Okay.
What's
that?
Shall I read the Bother?
Oh, you got it. Good.
Yeah. So va'ata po amud imadi va'adabra elecha es kol ha-mitzvah va'achukim va'mishpatim asher talandim va'asu va'aretz asher anochi nosen lahem l'rishta.
Okay. All right, so God is speaking to Moshe, and he says, you stand now, stand here with me on Har Sinai. You should stand with me, and I will teach you the Torah. Okay, so what's the limud?
Standing.
Standing. Right, God instructed Moshe to stand. Okay, so it's very nice, but what does that have to do with us? We have a mitzvah. Right, of Midrabanan, actually. It's a mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakein, and Ezra also. Right, of Kriyas HaTorah. That we have to be Kuri the Torah. Okay, fine. So what does that have to do with the fact that Moshe had to stand at Har Sinai? This is a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. It has nothing to do with Har Sinai. Yeah.
So I guess because like when Moshe was standing there, he was there to get the Torah, to be Makabal, right?
Okay. Yes.
And all the Chukim and the Mitzvos, and to like establish the, yeah. So then for us, it's the same thing. When we're just saying that every 3 days, you're trying to keep your framework, and you're trying to be able to
right
accept upon yourself the Mitzvos, and
okay. Okay, so what are you saying?
So you're doing the same thing both times. So you should emulate in the same way that you were trying to.
Okay, good. So, what do you say? What is he saying? Good? Is he saying good or what do you say?
Say better.
What's that?
Say better.
Good. Right. In other words, the Gemara is saying that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is not just a mitzvah to be korei this book, right? But apparently, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is a halacha of repeating the event of Sinai. It's a halacha of being mekabel the Torah. Okay, it's limud haTorah, and it's apparently a form of Kabbalah haTorah. Okay, in other words, could we like elaborate on that a little? I mean, what does that?
The reenacting that experience.
Reenacting that experience. That's right. In other words, if let's say by Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah is just a halacha that you have to be korei this sefer. Nothing to do with being mekabel anything or reenacting anything. It's just a halacha you have to be korei this thing. Right? Kriyas Shema. We read Kriyas Shema. That's actually a Kabbalah. That's a Kabbalah also. That's Kabbalah Zal Mechu Shemayim. So that's not a great example. But over here, Kriyas HaTorah is not just a halacha to be korei this sefer. But the Kriya has to be an action of Kabbalah HaTorah. Okay? It should be a halacha of Kabbalah HaTorah. So the pasuk that the Gemara says is that Kabbalah HaTorah demands a midah. Okay? A person has to stand for Kabbalah HaTorah. Okay, so therefore when the Baal Kori is reading, you he has a din of a Mekabel, being Mekabel the Torah. Okay? So that's the halacha. But by Megillah, there's no halacha of Kabbalah HaTorah. So therefore, it doesn't matter whether you stand or you sit. You just have to be covered. Okay? Now, Kriya is no better whether you're standing or sitting. Same thing. Okay? All right. So let's take a look. Okay? So what does Gemara say? Now the Gemara goes off on an interesting thing here.
Okay. V'yachol af kadosh baruch hu ba'amida.
You skip the line. I think you skip the line. Damar kara.
No, he's good.
No, I'm sorry.
He's good. Okay. So, Rabbi Avahu says that actually, if the pasuk didn't say this, we wouldn't be able to say it. But the implication of the pasuk is it's giving some kind of limud that it's as if God stood there too, because the pasuk doesn't say that God says to Moshe, "You stand," but he says, "Stand with me." Amod imadi. So amod imadi implies kevayachol, as if God were standing. Okay. So the question is, what is the why should the pasuk give that impression? I mean, that's it's just it's kfira. Right? You're expressing something that's an impossible idea. Right?
That we can stand with God?
That God is standing with Moshe. We wouldn't be able to say it if the pasuk didn't express such an idea, but clearly the pasuk seems to allude to such an idea. So the question is, that seems like an astounding thing. Why should the pasuk express such an idea like that? Okay? So it has to be teaching you something, right? It has to be teaching you that, right, if the pasuk indicates that God was standing also, there must be some limud there, right? So what's the limud?
Okay.
He says actually halacha, right? That the Rav, when he teaches the Talmidim, he is not allowed to sit on a chair if they're on the floor. Or if they are. Or if they either they see the Ron, if you take a look at the Ron, he says they have to be on equal footing. Either they're both on the floor or they're all on the chairs. But you can't have one on a different level than the other. Okay, they have to be equal. Okay, and that's what the pasuk is trying to teach you, that halacha. So what is the halacha that the Talmud and the Rav have to be equal? What kind of a halacha is that?
In other words, what's the idea behind it?
What is the idea behind that?
Beyond that, we're just trying to emulate Hashem gave it.
Well, Hashem did. Well, the pasuk says expresses that, right. First of all, what's the equation between that and Har Sinai, and why the pasuk expressed that idea? Because it wants to teach the Rav how he should conduct himself with the Talmud. Mm-hmm. So, the question is, why is that? A person could argue. No, the Rebbe deserves kavod. The Rebbe should have a position of kavod. The students should respect him. So a person could argue that the Rebbe should sit on a more exalted position than the students. The students may not have chairs. Maybe they don't have enough chairs, so the students are on the floor. But does that mean the Rebbe has to sit on the floor too? A person might think the opposite, that the Rebbe should... He's entitled to a chair. Yeah.
Maybe it's the most like efficient way to transmit like information from one person to the other to be on like some kind of in some sense like on go down to the same level as them in a way.
Okay, good.
Like it's like a little bit too vague, but
okay, good. So you're saying that has to be the method of education.
Right.
There's a method of education that's being conveyed here.
Right. Like meaning you can't be too like daunting, like this guy like sitting
okay.
up in a chair. You have to be like
good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Maybe it's that just throwing out possibilities. Not that I disagree with that. But another possibility could be that maybe it's talking about it. Maybe it's trying to have a certain like open forum to Torah, meaning like there's no authority in terms of truth.
That's good.
If things are true, it can come from the Talmud, it can come from the Rav, and everyone's on equal footing when it comes to ideas, and if it's true, it's true.
Very good.
That's what we were talking about the other day.
What's that?
It's like we were talking about the other day on Friday.
Right. There's no authority when it comes to truth. That's right. It's either limud has to be truth, and truth is truth. So there is no authority. So if the Rebbe sits on a chair, then it lacks in learning, because then the student will be affected by the superior position of the Rebbe. His Kabbalah, in other words, the Kabbalah of the truth can't be based on a personality. It has to be based on truth. If the Kabbalah Sa'emes is based on anything other than MS, that's not learning. You can't say learning is going on. What's going on is indoctrination. That's not learning. So it means to say that when Moshe, I guess if you want to translate it in terms of Sinai, you have to say that when Moshe was mekabel the Torah, his understanding of the Torah was not affected at all by the fact, he wasn't influenced at all by the fact that God was the one that was the source of knowledge. But he accepted it only based on the truth. And if he didn't understand it, it didn't affect him the fact that God was the one teaching him. Yeah.
I don't know, I could be wrong with this, but it seemed to me that also the halacha would be that the Rebbe couldn't sit on the floor and the Talmid could sit in the chair. So that they're also not the same one. To be that, so I'm saying.
That's a good question. Let's say the Rebbe wanted to sit on the floor and the Talmidim on the chair. That's a good question.
According to this, you would say that it's okay.
What's that? According to this, it should be okay.
Yeah,
there might be a different issue.
Why does the Ron say it has to be equal? No, he should just say that the Rebbe should not be above, but if he wants, he can be below.
He doesn't say that, so therefore.
He doesn't say that. He says it must be equal.
Because you don't want any. You don't want any indifference.
Yeah.
It might go the opposite, no?
Okay.
It might be like I'm just going to argue with this guy because I can. It's not really anything.
I'll just prove him wrong,
even though I can't.
Might
be hard to
accept
things that he said at that point.
But I guess, like, kavod, I guess, is like, it's like kind of like an objective thing, and it's like a bizoy to that kavod of the, like, he is perceived as somebody who gives over that information, and that's like a bizoy to that.
It would be bizoy.
The Torah.
Okay, but I say what Alan is saying is correct. I think what he's saying is right. In other words, it can't be a difference. The moment there's a difference, that's it. It doesn't matter if he's lower, there's a difference. You see, in other words, with an authority figure, if there's any difference, a different position, you see, they're not going to say, oh, he's lower than us. They're not going to say that. They say, oh, he's special. You cannot highlight anything about the person that differentiates him as special. So it doesn't matter whether he's above or below. That's special too. You see, you can't. That's the point. If it's not, what's that?
Like the shamans.
That's right. Right. You cannot differentiate. That's right. Exactly. So even if it's lower, it doesn't matter. It's a differentiation. Once you make a differentiation, then the person is influenced. He's under the influence.
So it all comes down to like ego kind of thing?
What's that, an ego kind of thing? Person feels like a certain kind of intimidation. And even if the person's sitting on the floor, it could be greater intimidation. Because, hey, oh, this is weird. Why? You know what I mean? It doesn't matter, you see? It doesn't matter. If you differentiate that person, then he becomes a special person. Now, once he's special, that's it. Can't argue with him. That's it.
Yeah.
That's good. That's very good. That's very good.
Alan's pretty good.
That's very good. That's good. Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. Now he says like this. He says, okay, then he says like this. Mimos Moshe, the Ad Rama Gamliel, lo hayu lemeidin Torah, elema umad. Okay, from the time of Moshe to Rebbe Gamliel, whenever they learned Torah, they stood. Mishemes Rebbe Gamliel, yered chuli lo olam, Vahayul Maiden Torah Miyushov. Then they had to sit. Okay. Vahainu Titanan Mishumes Rama Gamliel Batal Kava Torah. Okay. What's this all? Mishumes Rama Gamliel Hazakin Batal Tama Torah. Kava Torah. Okay. So Kava Torah, there was a decrease in Kava Torah. Okay. Okay, but let's just take a look at the next Gemara. Okay, Gemara says like this. Gemara has an interesting thing. It says Kasav Echad Omer Ve'eshiv Bahar. The Kasav Echad Omer Va'anuchi Omadati Bahar. Okay, so one pasuk says Moshe says Ve'eshiv Bahar. I sat on the mountain, and the other pasuk says Va'anuchi Omadati Bahar. That I stood in the mountain. Okay, so it would seem, right, that you have a contradictory presentation here, right? Because Moshe indicates that there was a time he sat, not just stood. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Omed Velomed, Yoshev Vishona. No, so what did he do? He was Omed Velomed. So Rashi says, Lomed is Mipi HaGvura. But Yoshe Vishona Shanius Levado Mashalom. But when he reviewed over what he learned, then he sat. Okay, so when did he stand? He stood when he was Makabel from Akash Baruch. But when he wasn't Makabel, he was just reviewing, then he sat. Okay? So that's one interpretation. Then he goes like this. Reb Chanina Amar Lo Omed Velo Yoshev Ela Shocha. Okay, so he says it means he didn't stand, he didn't sit, he was reclining, he bent over. Okay, but let's leave him out of the picture for a minute. Okay. Okay, let's go to Rava. Rava's the last position. Rava Amar Rachos Meumod Vekashos Meyushov. Okay, so Rava says no. What it means is the easier limud, he was able to stand. But the more difficult limud, Moshe sat. Okay? Now, does Rashi say anything? Yeah. Rashi says, Rachos, Dvarim Rachim, Venochim, Sha'adim Mahir L'shama. Right? Things that a person could understand easily, he stood. But something that required intense concentration and depth, he sat. Okay. So what would you say about that?
Why does this create a problem, though? Because Hashem's standing and he's sitting? Is that...
Well, it's not a problem. It's just they want to know that at certain times Moshe sat. So one Mandamar said the times that Moshe sat were the times when he was reviewing, when he was not Mekabel from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Okay? But Rava says, no, the times that he sat were the times when he was comprehending something very difficult. Okay? So what would you say, just on a basic level, what is the Machlokas? Well, on what point are they arguing? Yes? Right? On what point are they arguing?
I don't know. I mean, do you have something to... Oh. Okay. Right? So, let's... Right?
Rav. Rav says... Here's the facts, okay? I'm just taking these two positions. Rav and Rav. Rav says he stood when he was Mekabel from Akash Baruch Hu and sat when he reviewed. Rava says no. He stood when he was studying something easy, and he sat when it was difficult.
Okay. Why did we say you stand when you receive the Torah when you're Mekabel? Because God stood?
That's the halacha. When you're Mekabel the Torah, you must stand.
So that doesn't relate to rabbi sitting with their Talmidim, though, just tangential.
That's a different thing. That's why God stood in together with Moshe.
Oh, okay.
But the halacha of that the mekabel stands, that's because at any time you're mekabel the Torah, you must stand. So that's why Rav says very nicely that, well, obviously, if Moshe said, I sat, well, obviously he was not mekabel the Torah at that time, because we know that if you're mekabel, whenever you're mekabel, you must stand.
So
right?
When did he hold you a sitting?
When so he sat when he was reviewing. When he was reviewing when he what he was mekabel, he was going over by himself so that then he could sit. Right? Okay. But Rava is saying, now what is, okay, so that, fine, let's, that seems straightforward. In other words, when he's mekabel, he stands, that's why he was standing. When he was reviewing, not mekabel, so he sits. Okay, but Rava, what does Rava say? Rava is saying that, no, it depends on the subject matter, whether he stood or sat. Okay, so what is he saying with regard to
initial
being mekabel? In other words, do you stand when you're mekabel or do you sit?
Okay, so I would think he would agree that you would stand. Ideally, you would stand when you're mekabel.
Correct.
But the thing is, what the question would come up as to what takes precedence when you are having a hard time understanding something, and being in a different position would help your understanding.
Okay.
So would, like, I guess, like, would the Kavod HaTorah take precedence, which is what Rav would say?
Right.
Or Rav would say, no, the just whatever is going to help you, you need to relax on the couch, whatever you got to do to understand
right.
the idea that to the best of your ability,
that's right.
that's going to take precedence.
Right.
But still, ideally, if you could do without it,
you should stand.
You should stand.
But Rava holds that since it's very difficult, even though it's a mekabel, but you must sit because the subject matter is very difficult to understand. Okay, so I'd like to know one thing. Okay, what does, in other words, does Rava argue with Rav?
Yes.
He argues with Rav. In other words, okay. He argues with Rav, right?
Of course he does, yeah.
Right? Okay. So,
got that.
What would he, in other words, what would Rav say about Rav?
He'd say it's too difficult yeah. for him to comprehend all these things. Oh, okay. He would say that he's not really being mekabel if he's standing. Because he's not really getting it.
Oh, that's good. You mean if it's too difficult?
That's what he would say to him.
What's that?
That's what he would say to him.
That's what he would say to him. That if it is too difficult and he's standing, he's not a mekabel.
Right.
Because he can't understand it.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
So the only way to be mekabel is to sit. So it's like it takes out the whole problem. You tell me that you have to stand when you're being mekabel, but there isn't. It doesn't apply here. Standing doesn't apply here.
Right.
So I can't be mekabel if I stand.
Right.
It just wouldn't work. So I'll have
to
sit.
Weird,
it's like an onus, kind of. An impossibility.
Okay.
I think it's weird that the initial, that the, that everyone, what do you call it, the decree that you have to stand while being mekabel Torah will be only. It's weird that we'll only be talking about like easy Torah to learn, like, or
right. Okay.
It just doesn't sound right. I don't know.
Okay.
Like that would be the idea for when they
okay.
say speak.
Yeah. So okay, in other words, you wanted to say that when it's too difficult, say I can't stand, right? That's how we started out. We started out saying, "Then why could I sit when it's difficult? Because it's too difficult, so I can't stand. I'm not going to be able to properly understand the thing, right? So that overrides the idea of standing for Kabbalah, right? But now you're saying, no. Really, actually, if you stood, you wouldn't be a mekabel because you can't understand what's going on. right? So therefore, but it still turns out, in other words, does it, but it turns out that the person's stuck because he really should be standing, but he has no choice. He can't be mekabel while he's standing,
mm-hmm.
because he can't comprehend it. So he has no choice. He has to sit. Okay.
But
but
where's this idea that? Oh, I don't know. Okay.
But then is he lacking? So I just want to know one thing. In other words, if he's sitting because he has to concentrate, is he lacking in terms of a mekabel? Because the ideal mekabel stands for Kabbalah.
It's his best functionality as a mekabel.
But he's lacking.
He's functioning as the best mekabel that he can be.
Okay, so it's a relative thing. I have to be the best mekabel I could be. Right?
Yeah, that's the goal, right? So in order to achieve the goal...
Okay, so here's what I want to know. What is this teaching me? I mean, what is this teaching me? It's teaching me just say, okay.
Get
it's teaching
best,
me. What's that?
Have the best, like, utility. Like
so it's teaching me like a practical thing. Yeah, okay, yeah. In other words, if you can't understand what's going on, if you're standing, well, obviously, you better sit down. I mean, this is not, right? In other words, this is not, you're not chayv karis if you sit down. Obviously, God wants you to understand comprehend what he is giving to you. So if it's impossible to understand it standing, well, obviously you got to sit. I mean, what is the big chiddush in that? Where is there a limud there? Yeah.
I'm showing that making this delineation between like Amida doesn't function as like the. Like in this rigid sense of like being the only way to be Mekabel Torah. I'm saying that the goal is to be Mekabel Torah.
Yes.
And there's a proper way to do that, which is through Amida.
Okay.
But
if you can't do it through Amida.
If you can't do Amida, then you should do it through...
Sitting. Sitting or standing is that...
Okay. Well, let me...
Well, why can't you say that? Why can't you say not that that if you're... I don't want to say it. Basically, why can't you say that if you're sitting, a Rava holds... Is it Rava? Rava?
That is Rava, yeah.
Rava holds that if you're sitting, if it's a hard idea, then you're not being the Kabbal.
Why?
Oh, I don't know.
if it's hard,
what?
You can't be Mekabal a hard idea.
Right, that's why he says you sit. But meaning as opposed to saying you can't be Mekabel.
In other words, you cannot be Mekabel a hard idea. Because you have to work that out for yourself.
What about Rav?
No, so Rav says the...
no,
he says the opposite.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, one second. Before you get to Rav, is that a valid thing? In other words, can you say that what is the definition of a hard idea? I mean, what's hard and what's light? I don't know. It took you 10 minutes to work it out or 3 hours. I don't know. Where's the line? Where's the qualitative line? Hard and easy. I mean, I don't know. But maybe you could say this way, that anything, there are certain ideas that a person could teach you. He could teach you this idea. You hear the idea, you say, wow, it's a great idea. There are other ideas. You could listen to the guy from today till tomorrow. You don't know what he's talking about. You have to work it out. He could give you certain highlights, but you have to work the idea out. A hard idea means something I cannot really... Let's say you read. Try reading Einstein's book on relativity for the high school people, right? The one he says any person with a high school education will understand, right? Read the book. You don't know what the guy's talking about. So you could read the words, but if you want to get the idea, you have to work it out. Now the question is, if you work it out, is that a Kabbalah? Or no, that's your idea. I mean, okay, Einstein, you know, gave me a little hints there, but basically, you have to work out the idea on your own. So maybe that's the idea difference between a Kal and a Rach. An easy idea means something another person could teach you. You see, a hard idea means something nobody could teach you. You've got to work it out.
So you can't be a Kabbalah.
So it's not a Kabbalah. Nice. That's what he says. He sat when that's not defined as a Kabbalah.
What?
Not a Kabbalah.
But Rav is saying
that is a Kabbalah.
That is a Kabbalah.
Rav said, no, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you have to work it out, but go work it out without any, go work it out without reading the book first. You can't, you have nothing to go on. Yes, it's true, you have to work it out. But what are you working out? You're working out the hints that were given to you. That's a Kabbalah. That's a Kabbalah too.
It's the part of what you were reading or what you were receiving.
That's right.
Yes.
That's Kabbalah. Or do you say, no, if it's a hard idea, it's essentially mine.
No.
That's not Kabbalah.
That way he says reviewing, you could sit down also. Because
he says reviewing, you could sit down, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah,
so that's because, well, that would be because then you're learning the idea on your own, meaning that's the whole idea.
Yeah, but isn't that a continuation from the idea you received? You receive the idea. Sounds, this sounds like the same thing. You receive the idea,
but
now you're reviewing the idea that you got. But as far as easy, it's not.
Meaning
just,
when you're standing,
easy.
When he tells you, he gives you an idea, so you're standing when he gives you the idea, and then
right.
You could sit to think about the idea, I guess. I don't know what you're supposed to think.
Yeah.
Right,
fine.
So.
Meaning you could sit to think, okay.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Because you're no longer Makabo, so you're going
right.
Go
well, no,
because.
How is that not a Kabbalah? Well?
Why would that be a Kabbalah?
When you sit and think about it, that's not a Kabbalah, but when you sit and think about a difficult idea, that is a Kabbalah.
Oh, we were saying that is a Kabbalah?
Okay, well, forget about that for a second. Let's just take Rav on himself. Forget about Rav. Let's forget about Rava for a second. Let's just talk about Rav.
Yeah,
so Rav said, if I review it, I could sit. Okay, now, according to the way we're approaching it, sitting and standing is just a hint to tell you when you have Kabbalah and when you don't have Kabbalah. So if Rav says that you could sit while you're reviewing, so what he's saying is review is not Kabbalah.
Right.
So your question is, why is that not Kabbalah?
Right.
When you say Kabbalah, you mean like he teaches it to you.
Yes. You receive it from a
right. So because that means that the whole idea is, if you're reviewing something, it means it wasn't taught. You have to teach it to yourself. Right?
Okay. Okay.
So that would mean that, like that you were saying, the Einstein book.
Right.
He just tells you a certain thing, and then you go ahead and you think about it on your own.
That's my problem. It sounds
that's
like
not
the same
a Kabbalah.
Thing. But it is. That's what Rob is saying. Rob is saying that is a Kabbalah. So how come when you read Einstein's book...
I thought Rav was saying it's not a Kabbalah.
No, Rav is saying it is. Oh, that's
really?
Why you have to stand.
Oh, because we're saying Rav is... The way Rav is read is...
Yeah.
Okay, but let's just forget about that for a second.
Wait, what are we forgetting about?
Forget about what we said about Rava with the Einstein book.
No, Rav.
He said Rav.
Rava is the guy that said the hard ones you sit and the easy ones you stand.
Right, so that's
so
not
we
Kabbalah.
So we said uh-huh. when you work it out yourself, that's not a Kabbalah,
right.
According to Rava.
Right.
So sitting
Rav.
Okay, but now, okay, but forget about the machlokas for a second.
Okay.
Let's just...
Take each one on their own.
Yeah, take each one on their own. Now, forget about Rava and what Rav holds about Rava. Forget about the machlokas. Let's
okay.
just say, let's just look at Rav himself, as if we didn't talk
okay.
about Rav.
We're not saying the same idea.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, totally different thing.
Okay.
Now we're looking at Rav. Now Rav says when you the only thing that we're the one thing that we discovered that we're going to use is that the key here is when you stand that is Kabbalah. When you sit, no Kabbalah.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
So now Rav says when do you stand? You stand when he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he reviewed it, he sat.
That's
right?
That's
Rav. So therefore, Rav is telling us that when you review something, that is not Kabbalah.
Right.
Right? Okay, now you could, right? So the question is, when I review something, is that part of Kabbalah Satora? Is that just a further extension of Kabbalah Satora? Or no, that is not Kabbalah at all. Kabbalah means when I receive the information, but whatever I do later is not Kabbalah.
Well, I guess
that's what he's saying,
ask.
Right?
Sounds like everyone agrees to that. Yeah, even Ralph would agree.
Well, he's saying
maybe,
that
yes.
the
well,
right.
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 But
yeah.
He would be saying that the reviewing is not the Kabbalah.
The reviewing is not Kabbalah because
right.
he said that
right.
is not going to define this Kabbalah.
Right. That's why
okay.
he's supposed to say that.
Right. You must say that. That right. That is his idea clearly.
Right.
That when you review, that is not Kabbalah.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Now. That's all. I mean, you now what?
Oh,
you
now
tell me.
Now a problem.
Though. Okay,
now
you got a problem.
I got a problem. So now,
I mean, that much we know for sure.
Oh,
but
you didn't
that
know
he's
for sure.
definitely saying that.
Okay.
Okay.
We also know something else for sure. For sure, we know that whether or not it's an easy idea or hard idea, that is Kabbalah.
Yes.
Right.
What's that
okay,
is
why?
Kabbalah?
Yeah.
When you receive a difficult
when you receive it, not when you're
one second,
it.
One second.
Okay.
One second. When you receive a difficult idea, that is Kabbalah.
That is Kabbalah
right.
because
what's Kabbalah?
That's the first time you heard
okay.
it, and
yeah.
it's only a review is separate. But right, when you receive from God a hard idea, that is Kabbalah.
Right,
exactly. Yes, you're right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So
okay,
now,
very good. Okay.
When we say you're receiving a hard idea, are we saying that you got to sit down and think about it? Or it's just like you hear the words, you have no idea what's going on. And that's it. But you received it.
I see what he's saying.
Say that again. Say that again.
It can't be that. That's what I'm trying to say.
Now, he's saying, what does it mean receiving a hard idea? Well, that means you're thinking about it on your own. Because receiving a hard idea doesn't mean when God's telling me the words, because I don't understand what he's talking
right.
about. So part of the receiving of the hard idea has to be when I'm thinking about it.
Right.
Afterwards, reviewing it and working it out.
Which one do you
right,
get
so
to
that
review?
Whole process is
he would
not under receiving, it's under
thinking. So
it's under thinking, right.
It's under
so
sitting,
then,
it's under the sitting.
Right,
thing.
So then doesn't he hold the same thing as Rava?
Right, that's what it sounds
so what's the machlokas?
Well, that's not what I'm asking. I don't mind about the machlokas, because it seems like he's saying, for whatever reason, I don't care right now, for whatever reason, thinking about a hard idea afterwards is Kabbalah for one of them and is not Kabbalah for the other.
That's
whatever
right.
it is, I don't really
right.
care about that
right
now.
Okay.
But it just seems like a logical problem right now within Rav, because Rav is saying himself that receiving a difficult idea requires you to go and understand it and think about it on your own, and that's Kabbalah.
Right.
But how come we don't say the same thing for reviewing? That seems like, okay, I'm going, like, even if I receive
meaning
an easy idea,
that is
I'm
Kabbalah,
going,
what is it?
That's saying, yeah, reviewing sounds like Kabbalah too now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm taking these easy ideas, it could be easy, it could be hard, and I'm going to review it.
And why do you need to review
own.
It if it's so easy?
Yeah,
right.
Obviously you're reviewing it for some reason, exactly, yeah, that's an even stronger point. Yeah, you're obviously reviewing it for some reason,
right?
right?
So why is that not Kabbalah?
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Unless he's holding receiving is literally just hearing the idea.
Right. That would be hard though, no?
You get it. I think it has to be though. Because then he's basically holding. You're always sitting.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's
you always need to think about an idea.
Well, you're.
It'd be hard to believe, though, that receiving and that Kabbalah is just hearing words that you don't get. That's
but there's no other way to say. Meaning,
is there?
Because then you'd have to say, okay, so Kabbalah.
So maybe he would agree with Rava. That certainly, if it's a difficult idea, that definitely is my own. The question is, if I'm incorporating an idea, because what's review mean? Review means I hear something for the first time, right? So I got it, right? But you don't really have it, right? You have it, but not the same way that you have it when you, like, go over it and, like, see the ramifications, right? Then it becomes part of you.
It's not, like, in your framework.
Right.
But you get it. Like,
you
I
get it,
you
get it, and then I can tell it over to you, and now I can review it, and when I review it, then I have it solid,
so
right?
The same thing.
What's that?
So then they're saying the same thing.
So then he holds that when I'm going over and reviewing it, that even that is not Kabbalah. Even that's my own. But certainly, if it's an idea that I have to work out totally on my own, that certainly is my own. Is you know what I mean?
That's not Kabbalah.
No,
that's not Kabbalah, right. And it was according to Rav, Rav holds that Kabbalah is only what, you know, the direct interaction. Okay, when I receive the basic idea. But if I have to, whatever I do on my own is my own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if it's incorporating the idea, and certainly if it's working out the idea.
But Rava would say that with a difficult idea, even if you have to go totally on your own, that's still Kabbalah.
Rava? Rava's the second guy. He holds if it's a difficult idea,
right.
That's not Kabbalah. That's my own.
Oh, us the same thing?
No, because he holds, but if it's just reviewing, that would be part of Kabbalah.
What? Rava says that would be Kabbalah reviewing?
Yeah, reviewing. That's part of Kabbalah.
Right.
Because that's part of getting the idea.
How could he hold a difficult idea, reviewing a difficult idea?
No, not reviewing a difficult idea.
Reviewing
an easy idea.
Having a difficult idea.
Reviewing an easy idea.
Trying to understand the idea from the outset. You didn't even get it yet.
Right, that's not Kabbalah.
Understand it. That's not Kabbalah at all.
Right.
You didn't even get the idea yet.
Right. You have to get it on your own. You have to get the whole idea on your own.
And then...
But if I hear the idea, but I have to go over it a little, that's part of hearing the idea. And I basically got it from God. I didn't get it by myself. I basically got it from God, but I have to... Incorporated. That incorporation is part of the lima.
Okay, that makes sense.
As opposed to,
like that,
as opposed to what?
Right, as opposed to if it's something that forget about incorporating.
You don't get it yet.
I don't get anything. I mean, it's such an abstract idea that before I can even see what God's talking about, I got to work it out.
Like, he gave me direction.
He gave me the direction, but now I have to do all the work. That's not Kabbalah.
Okay.
That's Moshe Rabbeinu's.
Okay.
Why was it a problem with reviewing being... What was your problem? What was your original problem again?
My original...
Let's put it this way. The Cheshbon is... I don't think the Cheshbon is the main... The main thing is that we want to show is, really, that standing... That Kabbalah... That in Kabbalah, in learning... Let's put it this way. Here's the main idea you really want to get across. That in learning, there is transmitting information. There's the information you receive, but in learning is also the information that you are mechadish on your own. You see? So there's a difference between receiving knowledge and being mechadish. So when sometimes I can receive knowledge and I got it. You show me an idea, I got it.
That's
you can easy.
Right.
Where you can transfer an idea. I have an idea, I could tell it to you, and you'll get it. Right? Sometimes I have an idea, I could tell it to you, you don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, you can see, but it's so abstract that the only way you're going to get it is if you basically work it out on your own. I gave you a few hints, but you have to work it out on your own. That's the only way you're going to have it. You're not going to get it from me. You see, so that's a different kind of transmitting. You see, when a person writes on a very abstract topic, it's a different kind of transmitting than when I write a thing on basic math. I can write a thing on basic math, and you read it and you got the idea. That's it. But you can have a subject that's so difficult to understand that you read the words, but it's just a hint. You have to basically be mechadish the thing on your own. So that's what he's saying. There's two types of learning, really. Okay, that's the main idea. And even with, and he's saying like this, even with a simple idea where I explain something to you and you got it, but you don't really have it till you can go to a shir, like the Rav explained, that in the Torah, in Hakel, it says that you bring... That there's three groups. There's the children that come, the mothers, and the fathers. So it says the fathers come, they understand the shir. The mothers come, their zchus is that they brought the children. That they came. They may not understand what the shir is saying, but they came. That's a zchus too. So what the Rav is saying is that sometimes you can hear an idea. Oh, and he said like this. He said, the men who come, they get schar limud. But Rashi says over there that the schar limud is only because a week later or 2 weeks later, they could repeat over the idea. Okay? But if they can't repeat over the idea 2 weeks later, then they only get one schar hiluch, that they came to the shir, but they didn't really learn anything. Okay, what does it mean they didn't learn anything? If you ask them afterwards, they'd be able to repeat over the shir. They got the ideas. You see, a week later, they don't have it anymore. Because Rashi says that, yes, you can understand the thing. But there's a difference between understanding on the surface and incorporating that as part of your knowledge. Okay, you can walk away from a shir, and if a person asks you about the shir, you can repeat it over. But 2 days later, how come you can't remember what the shir was about? You see? because that knowledge that you didn't incorporate into your own knowledge. You see? So he's saying the same thing. When Moshe had to learn from God, there's a two-step process. There's receiving the ideas. I got the ideas now. But if I don't go over the ideas, you see, I'm not going to keep them. You see? So the question is, when I go over ideas, is that really part of the essential transmission? There's no transmission if I don't go over them, because I'm not going to have it. You see? Or do you say, so then that's part of Kabbalah. Going over is part of the whole Kabbalah. Or do you say, no, going over is a separate thing?
Then he should be Muhammad when he's
That's reviewing. Right. That's right. So that's, but that's why Rav said that no, going over, it's true.
Even
though it's not considered Makabal. Because even though you, it's true, you'll forget the ideas, you see, but that's your own input. You see, that's something you have to do on your own. God can't give that to you. If you don't do it on your own and make it your idea, then that's it. You'll lose it. You see, but that's a process of making it your idea. So anytime you're making your idea that's your input, that's not Kabbalah. You see, Kabbalah means the first step. God gives you the first step. But if you don't take the second step, that's it. Okay, so he's saying the second step is not Kabbalah anymore. That's up to you. You see, so that you want to sit, sit, enjoy, relax. That's you. You see?
So who were you we talking about when you're saying that right now? You're talking about Rava? He says...
About what?
You're talking about Rava when you're saying that?
That's Rav. Rav says when you review, when Moshe reviewed in his mind, that's his own thing. See, that's incorporating it in his knowledge. You see? So that was his chiddush. He said, that's him. So that's not included in Kabbalah. But you could say, no, that's part of the process of learning. In other words, that would be the Havamina was, before Rav came along, he'd say, no, he has to stand the review is part of how you Makabal the Torah. Or do you say, no, that's your own thing. Okay?
Right. So what was, so what's the level of this?
Between Rav and Rava?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just wanted to say, the question is, where do you split off your own thing? Do you split off your own thing once you're reviewing and incorporating the idea? Or no, you split off your own thing when the whole concept has to come from you. You see, it's so abstract, the whole entire concept has to come from you. That's when it's yours. But anything other than that is Kabbalah.
Right.
Okay?
Right, so they both agree in terms of...
Both agree in principle.
Right.
That there is a part of learning that's yours.
Right.
Question is, where does that part start?
Right. Does it apply... Does it start the review?
Or
when it comes, or
is it,
like...
The nature of the idea is so far removed that qualitatively
it's
yours.
Right.
Is it that step?
So he's not Makabo then. In terms of the Ami, you're standing when you're Makabo.
Yes, and when you're sitting,
you're
not a Makabo.
Right.
That's right, exactly.
Right.
So you're saying that Rav would agree if it's a really difficult idea, you got to work it out all on your own. For sure, it's not.
For sure. For sure, that's not a Makabo.
Right.
So
right.
If I review
if
it, it's not.
Isn't, then, right.
For sure, that's not a Makabo.
Right.
Cool.
So should we stand up for Devaney?
We should stand. Yeah.
What's
stand.
That? That's a different Machlokas. That's a different Machlokas. I mean, it's based on this. But it's, I guess it's a quite.
What's that one?
Yeah. No, but I guess on the surface you'd say is the tzibor a makabel, or is the makabel the kore, the bakore?
Oh, that's what I'm
saying.
The bakore has to stand. He's the makabel.
If you want to have a chance to be makabel, though, you should stand.
Wait, but
you, if you,
but the tzibor is not a makabel.
Oh, that's what.
Not a makabel. Because who was Makabal? Moshe Rabbeinu. Not the Tzibor. The Tzibor said, we can't be here. You're Makabal for us. You're our Shliach, you see, and you're Makabal for us. So the Balkur is the Makabal. And the Tzibor is, that's it. You're Makabal for us. You're our Shliach. We don't have to stand.
Right.
All righty.
I think the hardest part about all these Machlokes, like, determining is, like...
I don't mean that was
recording. Oh, no, it's recording again.